Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Sydney Mavundla is in studio with us, really being very gracious about coming into studio. We haven't had people come in for a while, so we get really excited. Trumpeter Sydney Mavundla, you're welcome. Thank you so much for coming onto our platform, for gracing us with your presence this evening.
No, thank you very much for having me here, and thanks to the listeners at home. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So I was briefly talking to you about how things are, how you've been. I guess it's kind of the question I've been asking a lot of musicians at the moment and artists about: how has the past 2 years affected you as a musician? And we'll talk about different elements of it. But musically, I'm quite interested in finding out how. So for someone who plays jazz or is a part of a jazz ensemble, it's always about playing, really, when the word play means that you feed off each other, you do things together, you jam together, right? Yes, of course, you're a musician and you can do stuff at home and you can record and stuff, but jamming is quite an essential part of what you do. True. Lack of that interaction with other musicians, what does it do to you musically?
Basically, you know, I believe that we are healers. We want to say something to people all the time. So once we get to be deprived that opportunity to say something to people and play music for the people, if I'm not paid, I don't think I'm more depressed than when I'm not playing.
Such an important thing to say.
If I'm not playing for people and fit, remember, we feed from the people. The way they react to the music we're doing, and the better I want to do in terms of giving them the music and make them enjoy and we all have a good time. So during these 2 years, it's been very rough in terms of we'll be sitting at home. I remember, you know, when you open the window in the middle of the night, it's like, not even in the middle of the night, like 10 in the evening, and there's not even one single car moving.
It's dead.
Around. It's like dead. I'm like thinking, wow. And I once said to some of my colleagues, how are we going to get back into action? Because chances are we need to wait for everybody to come back.
Yeah.
They must recoup.
Yeah.
And then we will recoup when we are the last on the list, because... Look here, money for the bread, money for these, it comes first.
Yeah.
Money for entertainment comes very last. But look here, we're still standing and we're still playing the music. You sit at home, play with the kids, play the music, show them what you want to do when it opens.
They become your audience.
Your audience. That's what we've been doing. And two, we've learned a lot of things. I mean, we composed some music, I want to believe. I'm not just talking for myself,
yes,
I guess.
Yes. Lots of people have composed.
Most
music.
Of us, we've composed, you know, and the good thing about music is like, in sadness, in happiness, music must still happen. Or it will happen.
It will happen, yes.
It will happen.
It will come out whether
so
you like it or not.
While we were distressed, while we were confused, music came in. Took a pen, you write something, open your computer, write something to play whenever you're going to get a chance, the next chance you're going to get to play.
And so the forced vacuum, because I think none of us were quite planning for it, this was now forced on you. Did it change anything about, I guess, I'm trying to see the lighter side or the positive side of it. If you're a busy musician, like you were traveling all the time, playing everywhere in the world, you probably had to force yourself to go into studio or to go into a quiet time.
Yeah.
This was forced on you. How did that feel?
I truly believe it was. You know, when you're looking at your diary, I remember it was, March 2020? And you look at your diary, things are falling apart. This one is gone.
Yeah.
This one is gone.
Yeah.
And the president... announces everything is stopped.
It's got,
so basically now you're forced. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you sit at home, you write this song. I worked with a few people. We started learning things like working online. Asanda Bam in PE. She calls me, Mavundla, I need horns for my song. I said, just send me the files, and then I'm going to record here at home. I'm not going to move or nothing. So we learn all those kind of things. It was definitely forced to us because we were not ready at all. And we are used at working with people, visually seeing them.
Feeling the energy.
Feeling from these people when they're sitting there, this one lady, one man, or whatever, saying, wow, or yeah, or whatever. We feel that that's where our energy comes from. You know, so now we're forced to sit at home. I know at home, they would, even my friends, they always say, Mavundla, you can't sit in one place. You're always like, right now I'm sitting because the mic is here. I would have been walking. You know? So basically, now think about this. You're sitting in the house with your kids and your wife. You can't do, and you can't move. You can't open the door, start the car and go somewhere. You're stuck here. So yeah, that's what I feel like. It's been like kind of like imposed to us to be grounded in that way.
Yeah. Has it then also forced some level of maturity in your music?
Definitely, definitely. I want to believe that because as a composer, or as a human being first. Yeah. You always want to upgrade yourself to the next level, to that level, to that level. You start reading now about these composers and then how do they do things. And you're starting to learn other things that you were not even bothered about before. Or you wanted to do, but you had no time to do that. So basically, yes, a lot of lessons were learned in the whole process of it was very sad, it was very difficult, but there were lessons to be learned. You know, loving each other as well, like try and help each other to survive the whole thing, you know, while we're trying to survive the pain of not even playing the music. These are the pains that we had to go through.
So for someone like yourself, pardon me if I make you feel shy, but for someone like yourself who's been lucky to be busy, right? Who's been working, a working musician.
Right.
Sometimes it the moment happens and you miss it because you're in it.
Yeah.
And you're so busy. You're busy. And maybe years later, in your retirement later, maybe you start reflecting on, hey man, I had a good run, right? You were forced to sit now. Did that give you an opportunity to reflect on just how much you've accomplished?
Yes, which is good as well.
Yes.
In terms of you see how big or how small, how medium, I don't know, how, you know,
of
the achievements.
Yes.
Especially on the things you wanted, things you've planned for. And then that says to you, okay, maybe I did okay, but maybe I can do even better. And then you fight for doing better, you know. I remember last year, I had this gig to do, you know, when it's quiet and then they call you, say, here's a gig, come to in a certain place and do. I took my band there. After we've done a couple of live, live streaming things and all those kind of things online. And then there's no money to record, there's nothing. And then I drove with Africa. Africa said to me, Mavundla, we can't wait. We need to record this. This music is ready, the band is ready, the band has been playing this thing. So basically it says to me, it's a different chapter in my life. And if the guys are saying this to me, let me grab this chapter and open it and make it work. So we ended up doing the recording. So basically, hence I'm talking about the lessons learned in the whole situation. Yes, it was very painful. We lost our loved ones and this and this, but there were so many beautiful lessons that were learned throughout.
I guess also it forces you to remember why you do this in the first place.
Yes.
Right? So
exactly.
There's no money, there are no gigs.
Exactly.
And this urge and the need to play remains, reminding you that actually, look, you can't do without this thing.
Because you're not even thinking, you just want to play.
That's what you like. I just want to play.
And when they call, you say, It's not like
how much
do we have for me. It's more like
I've got to do
what
it.
Time, what date, where, you know, those are the questions asked first than the other questions. It's more like where, what time, what date, what's the date. That's it, because we wanted to.
So your choice of an instrument,
right?
Looking back now, having had all this time to reflect and your journey, would you choose it again?
I like that question. I always tell people I so love the tenor saxophone.
Yes.
Each other was not exposed to me.
I was just asking. I didn't know.
I was not exposed. Remember, I grew up in the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army is all brass.
Yes.
There is no woodwinds and all those kind of things. It's only recently, like the likes of Lindos Kakane, he's coming from there, but he's playing a saxophone.
Yes.
So, but over the years, and I look at it, but I love trumpet. I think I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play it in my next life. I'm going to do it again. Yeah. Possibly better.
Possibly better. No. You still have this life. Do you miss Brahu?
Big time. Mm. Big time. I was telling, musicians, they come and go, but there will be that thing that says, so and so. There's a song that Chris Metz wrote. It says, thank you, Sandra, for passing by. There's a line they say there. So I'm just thinking, if you hear, for an example, you already knew Brahu is in the place, or Brahu is playing on the radio. When you hear boo badu 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 dedo, you knew Miles Davis is there, kind of blue. I always miss Brahu, and I'm happy to have finally recorded the song that I dedicated to Brahu. It says the title, it's going to be there on the 8th and the 9th. It's a dash for our fathers, and please excuse me, I sing as well on this song. I don't know.
So does it make, do you feel conscious about you singing?
Well, you know, Brahu always said, if you can talk, you can sing.
You can sing, yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
So I just decided, you know what, let me just sing this, because I've already written the lyrics. Thanks to my friend Ulung, I was there at the studio when we recorded the thingy, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to sing myself. I know a few people wanted to come and help me and sing. I said, you know what, let me just do it myself for this one. It's a dedication. The whole actual recording is a dedication to our fathers, our mothers who paved the way. So in this song, it's a dedication to Brahu, but Brahu must send a message to all the others that we love them, and we appreciate it.
It's a big one, because for someone like yourself, and I was just telling Kuku earlier on that this is the man who affirmed you quite early on in your career. And I wonder what, even as you know that this is what you want to do with your life, right? And you feel like in you, this is it.
Yeah.
But getting affirmed like that by someone like Brahu, what does it do to a young musician?
It's very humbling. It's very heartwarming, if I may put it that way. And I'm actually kind of lost of words to say it, because it didn't just happen once.
Yes.
It happened a couple of times when I get a call. Yeah. Brahu says, we must do this. Brahu says, this must happen. Brahu calls, come and pick up a horn. It's and I even
Brahu hands your horn after playing. That's huge.
I even said, why, Brahu, are you doing this? He says to me, okay, fine, I was joking, but he said, I owe a lot to the South Africa, to the nation, you know. So
no, he meant you're great.
I'm like, wow, thanks, Brahu. Thibaut Taj calls me, says, Brahu says he's not doing this gig if you're not there.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing, so the love is so humbling, so heartwarming. My parents, they don't even want to talk about it, because my dad, are you really talking about the same Brahu we know?
Yeah.
Yes, Brahu gave me this horn.
Where's the horn? Where's the horn? We're coming for the horn.
It will be there. I promise you. I even wrote a song for Brian Tusi. Yeah. I'm playing Brahe's horn.
My goodness. So So what you're hearing in the background there, that's the horn of Sydney Mabundla. Tell us about the song.
I always try and avoid this. If I knew you were going to ask this.
I knew. That's what I kept.
I would have said, please don't.
No. Yeah.
Basically, I grew up in church.
Sure.
So basically, when you talk about Abba Pharisee, the Pharisees, I think, even the Bible says they're like hypocrites.
Yes.
Like hypocrites. So I remember Princely once I said to me, what a beautiful melody. And I'm not sure about the title. I said, I'm going to leave it as it is. It is what it is.
Yes.
You know, if people love the music, they love the music. But if they're going to be hypocrites about it, it's another story for it. You know, I was there.
Yeah.
You remember? Jazz on its own, it's a music,
mm-hmm.
it's an acquired taste, some
yes.
may say,
yeah.
but for some, it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
It was like, me too, I was there. Okay, when you were there, what did you hear? I heard nothing because I was not there. I was just here, just for me to say on Monday at work.
I was there. So, you know, we spoke a bit about Brahe earlier on.
Yes.
Who do you call now? When you are at your musical journey's crossroads?
Wow. That's a big question. I mean, I had a few people to call, and it happened that Brian Truth is not there anymore, but I still communicate with the family, and Brahe is not there.
Yeah.
I remember there was another white guy used to help me with just to fix my horn.
That's it.
Let's fix.
That's it, yeah.
And then one day, I'm like, who's going to fix my horn?
Now.
Yeah. Alan is gone.
Yeah.
So basically, I've got a few friends that I talked to. I spoke to Lunga. Lunga is my good buddy lately. Mm. He's a script writer, but he loves music. And we've been on this journey of, hence we're talking about spaces where to play.
Yes.
So we're sitting in his lounge and I say, yeah, there's a piano here. Okay, fine. We're going to play here. We're going to start Lunga's Jazz Lounge. And the problem was solved. I played my first gig there. We brought in Amaeshi Kechi. 2 weeks ago, it was Fair Fago on the thingy, third episode. So basically, those are the people who makes me click with myself.
Mm.
Because when I, you know, all you need people to, when you speak to them, do they agree with you or they're not agreeing with you, but they must at least listen to you.
Mm.
So Lunga is one of those people who will listen to whatever I say. So in the absence of Brahe, I've got a few people to speak to, and I still do a lot of interaction with his management, Mutlalipula, Rapelang, and all the, you know, George and all that. So we still do, we've been doing some tributes to him. Mm-hmm. Actually, if it allows, possibly this year, we're going to do two more.
So there is the difficulty of the country shutting down, the world shutting down.
Right.
And I was just struck. I was saying this to you off air. I was struck by not only were the gigs quiet and had stopped,
right.
but the venues went.
Yes.
I mean the venues permanently shut down. It's not like they were closed for the lockdown.
No.
They were permanently shut down.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would feel like as a musician not being able to, of course, so you now go to Lunga's home to play. But you know what it feels like to be in an area where the acoustics play along with you. You know what that feels like.
Yes.
And if there is no place like that, forget you who's going to be asked somewhere overseas to come and play at the best theatres. I'm thinking the young people who who don't and will not have an opportunity to play in a real venue.
That's true. That's true. I mean, if you look at the young ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the other day I was talking to my wife. We talk about, can you imagine the school kids who had to start school?
Can you imagine? Wearing masks.
At 2020.
Wearing masks.
So they don't know each other. That's one. And school starts and stops.
Yeah.
It's like 2 weeks off and back for a week or something like that. So it's the same thing when you look at, hence I always tell people I'm very privileged. Maybe I didn't see it when it happened. I didn't see it. Like, I got to play with the big band at a very young age. Hence, I'm talking about the spaces you're talking about.
Yeah.
In a beautiful theater in the playhouse.
That's it.
A beautiful. So basically, when all these places are shutting down and the people, the young musicians who are trying to get into the space of playing music and they don't get to experience this. That. So for me, it's.
I mean, you know this because you understand teaching.
Yes.
How do you teach a young musician how to listen to a room if they don't have a room to play in?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
How?
So basically, you are telling them. It's like us at school.
If it was here, you would be hearing this.
Exactly. Like,
but that's not true.
It's like people of my age, when we were at school learning science without a laboratory.
Yeah,
they tell you that there is
It was going to do this.
Yeah, but you don't get to see it and do it and experiment it. Like, so basically, it's kind of the same like exercise where you're telling the kids that, you know, I remember I started teaching now in some schools and the kids, they don't even know what is jazz music or what is music. Have you seen the trumpet? No.
No.
I choose the trumpet because I saw you.
Wow.
Here, not on TV, no, here.
Mm.
At home, we don't have a TV.
Ish.
So I've never seen, but I think I like this.
Mm.
So basically, those are the problems we're sitting with at this present moment. You know, when you can't try to teach somebody, but they don't have a clue. When you say there's a theater,
and
this is
about
how the big band seats, this is how the orchestra seats, this is what, you know.
So, Sydney, what's the impact of that going to be like in the musicians we're trying to produce? I mean, I shudder just thinking about it because if you don't know what an amphitheater sounds like, music is about hearing and that ear, training the ear.
Yeah.
Then what do you think will become of how we train these young musicians? What are we going to produce?
Possibly we'll produce almost nothing.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. And it pains me the fact that in Africa, we are the only country that still gives formal music education in a tertiary level.
Mm.
So we're going to kill the little that we have now.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do if we continue exactly like we're doing now.
Mm.
So basically, we're going to have musicians who are not fully fledged, who are not well-groomed, but not because of their faults.
Correct.
Because of the situation and how this thing is presented in these times.
You said we've learned a lot. What have we learned?
Do you mean
this period, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that because I've been preaching that. You know, I was saying to somebody, I say there's people who say they've been married for 25 years, 45 years.
And rediscovered themselves.
And then now it's COVID. Now you're staying in the house, you're not going anywhere.
Yes.
And then now you start to see, this person used to wake up and go, now
they're here.
They're here.
Okay.
And then you find a man going, take a shower, and then he dresses in a suit and goes in and sits in the car and read paper, newspaper, just to be out of the house.
Yeah.
Because, so basically I'm saying we learn to tolerate and learn ourselves and understand the people we live with.
Mm.
For me, more than anything, it's a tolerance and finding other ways of dealing with the music industry as well in terms of now we had to do a lot of admin ourselves as well. So which we try and avoid and push it to somebody else. But for me, we've learned. I've never done a streaming thingy. But when they called me, I just said yes without knowing what's going to happen.
Yes.
And then the next thing, I must get a permit to go to the venue where this thing was.
Yeah.
And then I get there, like, it's a trio, and I haven't played a trio in the longest time ever. So we've been learning to, even the music I've been writing, especially for big band, for bigger ensembles, I had to sit there and look at it and say, I can improve this. Maybe let me look at this way. So there's lots of lessons from us as human beings to the music, to the whole community, as the whole society, learning each other. My neighbor, now I see you every day. Are you fine? Do you have a loaf of bread? I know that. So basically, we've learned to find each other, find what we're doing, what more we can do to empower ourselves and make ourselves better.
Were there lost opportunities? Are there things we could have learned in the industry that we didn't?
I want to believe yes. I want to believe yes. For the fact that I didn't play, for the fact that my gigs were cancelled. So it means there is a gig that I could have played it so beautifully, possibly record that gig as well. Or I could have had a better chance of going to the studio earlier than I did. You know, so there were lost opportunities in many different ways, if I may put it that way. But the truth is, I believe what I have and what I've received in the whole situation, let me just embrace that. And because the lost opportunities is like, I don't even know what exactly are they. But I know that I've learned 1, 2, and 3 from the whole situation.
Mulifi, thanks for your patience. You're calling from Mondio. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, man, for calling.
I just want to just really register my appreciation for a fine and a man who are full of music, and his acumen is of note. And Sidney Mavunda, I know him very well, and we live together in Mondio. We have a common place of interest, and his music is mesmerizing me. I heard his voice, and I heard your music, and I hear how you're just cracking, talking to him. That's the kind of person he is.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Mulifi. Thank you so much. You want to respond to
Mulifi? Wow. Ndate Mulifi.
Ndate Mavunda.
Liga Ndate.
Daddy, we are happy and happy to hear you. I'm more excited to hear your voice radiating beyond personal conversations to you. You are a gift to our society. This is one thing I just appreciate about you, the fact that your music is just not just words. It mesmerizes just the rhythm of it all, and that you've shared podiums and stages with the greatest of the great.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the support, and thank you for
congratulations on that.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you,
Mulifi.
Really appreciate that. So, do you dream in music?
Maybe it depends, though, what we're talking about. You know, some people, they say they dream songs. They come and say, I wrote a song, I dreamt of a song. But I can't say I do that, but I can say my dreams of being a better musician, of becoming a better musician. I've got so many dreams of what I want to achieve at the end of the day, and how should my kids remember Daddy. My little one, she's doing guitar now, starting with Concord, and I didn't even push her to do that. So basically, I want such kids to know me for that I support the little things they want to achieve inside the music, which is my dream. Even to teach others as well. And possibly teaching is the wrong term I'm using, because normally I normally say I like sharing. Because if you say you're teaching, it's now a program of some sort. And for me, sometimes it gets boring when I do that. So, but if I say sharing, I say, call me anytime. Have your question, or come to me when I have time, and then let's talk about the problems you have as a trumpet player. And then as a musician, let's see how we can help you. Basically, those are my dreams in terms of, we spoke now about what kind of musicians you're going to
produce
with a given situation. My wish is to produce good musicians, possibly, actually not even possibly, better musicians than us, my generation and the generations before.
What do you listen to?
Oh, well, I guess I haven't changed a lot. Possibly I've told you one time. I still listen a lot to, I've got a favorite trumpet player that I like, which his name is Terence Blanchard. I still love him to this day. And Wynton Marsalis I love.
Yes, of course. With
Terence, the things that I like with him, he's always moving with times. Right now, his last album is like Youngsters. Mm-hmm. They play popish stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, we need to move with the times, mm-hmm. but do what we like. We don't just move. Mm-hmm. We do what talks to us. Mm-hmm. So he always says a lot to me in terms of his music. Mm-hmm. I listen to Wynton Marsalis a lot. Fair Fagu. He's my guru. We're together at school, you know, and I've been doing some dapping for him when he couldn't play. Mm. Yeah, basically, I'm kind of like open-minded, but the people I've just mentioned now, these are the people I'm listening to a lot.
So, so what's your process like? You know, amongst your peers, they say you are a musician's musician.
Right.
What's your process like? Does it just come to you? Are you a more technical writer? What's your process like?
It could be a mixture of both,
yeah.
Technical and thingy. So basically, I remember there's a song I did last year. It was for Arts Alive. I sat at home and I watched this YouTube thingy, and I listened to this song. It just sank in. And then a couple of days later, I wrote a song, and I felt like possibly I wrote the same song that I had. So I had to go and check with it. And then I get that, no, it's not the same thing.
Song, yeah.
Yeah, but there could be like some influences of that song to mine.
Sure.
So basically, it for me, it depends. It changes every now and then. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I always tell people, my parents are always happy to hear me playing something like churchish kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a song recently, which I'm playing it next week as well. The lyrics is based like Wakazula Ganglayam, but it's not the same melody. So basically, it happens differently. And I always say to people, possibly it's the different influences I've been through.
Mm.
You know, I could be hearing Chikezi, I could be hearing Zimgawan, I could be hearing Terence, I could be hearing Miles Davis, Hugh Masekela, whatever. That will influence me. But I find it difficult for me to sit down and say, I'm going to compose now.
Uh-huh.
Today, I'm going to compose. Yeah. I can't do that.
That doesn't work.
I can't do that.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
So you've had time to reflect. You had ambitions and dreams.
Yes.
You are here now. What do you want to achieve? What's your next? What's your next?
My next, which I feel I owe it to myself. I still want to do like kind of like I'll call it a big ensemble.
Yeah.
Which is like big band strings kind of thingy.
Yeah.
For me, that is what I'm craving for.
Yeah.
To do that and kind of like feature more people.
Mm.
I shouldn't just shine. Remember, I'm not a vocalist.
Yes.
I just do it because Brahim
said. You can. Yes.
Because Brahim, you said, if you can talk, you can sing. Feature a lot of people for me that will make me, you know, because I want to believe that all those vocalists, if I were to feature 2-3 vocalists, they're going to make an impact into the music. They're going to bring a color and a beautiful color into the whole Sydney Mavundla catalog, you know, if I may put it that way. Yeah.
And speaking of that, you know, being able to work with other people and bringing new color.
Yes.
When you put together a band.
Yes.
What are you looking for? Because it is, I mean, with jazz, you speak to one another.
That's
I mean, it's really important that there is a synergy.
No, that's very true. Like Wynton says, if jazz musicians were to run a country, that would be the most democratic country.
Yes.
We listen.
Yes.
And then we feed from what we've just heard.
We give each other freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, when I'm looking for a band, I look at what I want to achieve, what I want to do. I mean, right now I've got, I'm going to mention the bass player, Amaeshi Igeji. The reason that I have him is because I liked his touch in terms of the bass guitar, not just the double bass.
Mm.
He's bringing a different color. He's a Nigerian boy. He's got a beautiful, like, he's, you know.
Mm.
So basically, I normally say to people, get the people who will make you sound better, yeah, look better, look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Much better, yeah. You know?
My goodness. You know, we've run out of time. I don't know if you know this. But it went by so quickly. Before you go, though, I want you to tell me about jazzing it up at the Market Theatre.
I'm so very excited.
Yeah.
I'm so very excited. And somebody asked me, so how do you feel about being the first one in the hour? I am, but I'm not really worried.
Yeah.
I'm happy and I'm very grateful to the Market Theatre, James Dover and the staff. I know he's moving out of the Market Theatre, but Zodwa, Shomi, I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward. And like we were talking earlier, that all we needed as artists, as jazz musicians, or as musicians, is a space where we can just present ourselves, pour our hearts out and say, look here, we've been locked somewhere. Okay, fine. I wrote this song. It's time for you to hear this song.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So much. I'm very
so excited. It's happening next week, ne?
On Friday the 8th and Saturday the 9th at the Market Theatre, John Gani Theatre, and that's at 7 in the evening. Yes.
Oh, lovely. Really looking forward to that. And we're so glad you're here. We're so glad
I'm happy to be here.
You know, you made it through the 2 years.
No, thank you so much.
Many didn't make it. And so it really is wonderful to see you out here again.
Highly appreciate it.
So Jazzing It Up at the Market Theatre is happening from next week on Friday. It will go all the way until Saturday, the 30th of July. So get your tickets at the Market Theatre. And that brings us to the end of the show for today. We'll be back again on Monday at 8.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.